Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study. Tonight we're going to talk about what is the right response when you've been wronged. Are there people in your life who have hurt you? Do you find yourself wondering how God expects you to handle them? Even though we are instructed to love our neighbors and our enemies, live peacefully with others, turn the other cheek, and not seek revenge, does God really want us to be a punching bag? Does God, a loving Father, want His children to suffer? How much does He expect us to endure? At what point do we walk away? Is it ever okay to fight back? How do we make things right? Looking at God's character, we see He's loving, fair, just, and reasonable. We must learn to trust God in all situations, allowing Him to handle it in His own way. Of course, when we are feeling battered or torn from the mental, verbal, or physical pain someone we love has inflicted on us, this is easier said than done. Realize God has not abandoned you, and He does not expect you to deal with these trials alone. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and let's read verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, "Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible," now notice verse 18, "if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to bring your message tonight. We pray, Father, that you would show us how and what is the right response when we're wrong. And Lord, we know there are people that do us wrong in this life, and we give you the praise that you have told us if we turn it over to you, you would have the vengeance against them. But Father, help us to know and help us to see tonight through the examples of these men that are in Scripture how they treated people and how they responded when they were wrong. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. In this message, we're going to be looking at some examples of others who were hurt by the ones they loved, and we will discover how to properly respond in these type situations. So first of all, when they're betrayed and abandon you, respond by rising up. Joseph was just 17 years old when his older brothers, driven by jealousy, sold him into slavery. Over the next several years, rather than allowing the pain of his situation to drag him down, Joseph kept his integrity and held to his faith in God. He went from favored son of Jacob to a slave, to head of the household for Pharaoh's guard, to a prisoner to the governor of Egypt. When we are put into situations we did not cause, it can be tempting to fall into a state of disrepair. However, if we allow God to work in our circumstances, we can rise up and become an even better version of ourselves than we were before. Always remember what Romans 8:28 says. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Joseph is a great example of how we should respond when we've been betrayed and abandoned. First of all, always remember God is still on your side. The Bible says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Secondly, maintain your integrity. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he said, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" It says he refused to go to bed or even be with her. Thirdly, recognize that you're not alone. God won't abandon you. When Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of trying to sleep with her, he was put in jail. It says the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him success in whatever he did. Fourthly, let God use you to fulfill his plan. When Pharaoh started having confusing dreams, he sought out someone to interpret them. No one in the land could explain his dreams except Joseph. Pharaoh responded to Joseph's interpretation by saying, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Notice what happened to Joseph. He kept his integrity. He did not get upset being sold into slavery. He kept his integrity. He realized he was not alone. He realized God had a plan for his life. Listen, always remember God is still on your side. God will never leave you or forsake you. When famine struck all the land in the area because of Joseph's great leadership and business skills, Egypt was the only place selling grain. One day, he noticed his brothers who had been sold him into slavery, buying grain, but they did not recognize him. When Joseph eventually revealed his identity to them, it says they were terrified at his presence. After what they did to him, the tables were now turned in Joseph's favor. So remember this, God will make you prosper if you treat people decently when you're done wrong. When you feel betrayed, when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like people have done you wrong, keep your integrity. Remember that God is always on your side. Remember that God has a plan for your life and He will fulfill that plan. And remember, most of all, that all things that happen to you will work out for your good to those that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. One day, Joseph noticed his brothers, the people who had sold him to slavery. They were buying grain, and they did not recognize him at all. When Joseph eventually revealed his identity to them, it says they were terrified at his presence. Now, why would they be terrified? That's a good question. Why would they be terrified? They were terrified because they thought Joseph would take his revenge on them because he had such a high place in the kingdom now, in that land of Egypt, that he would take it out on them for selling him into slavery. But he did not do that. After what they had did to him, the tables were now turned. No longer their little brother they could abuse. He was now in a position of power, with servants and guards and all of Pharaoh's court on his side. Rather than retaliate and seek revenge, notice what Joseph did. Joseph displays how we should respond to those who have hurt us. Number one, give God the glory. Joseph reassures them that he is not angry with them. He says, "Do not be distressed and be not angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save the lives of those that God sent me ahead of you, to preserve you for a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." Give God the glory. It what Joseph realized, it was not him, that it was not his brothers that had sent him here. Joseph realized that God had sent them there to make sure that his family could survive and the lineage of Christ could survive because of the fact that he was there putting up grain for them to eat. The second thing that we need to do that Joseph did, take them back in and show them undeserving love. Instead of giving them what they truly deserve, Joseph made a place for them to dwell in Egypt. Because of Joseph's relationship with Pharaoh, they were treated with respect and kindness. When Joseph had the opportunity for revenge, he chose grace and mercy. Because of a relationship with God, he was able to see past the pain and clearly see God's plan woven throughout his story. Joseph says this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Notice what he did. He didn't get mad. He didn't retaliate. He did not get angry with his brothers, even though they had sold him into slavery. What did he do? He took them back in and showed them undeserving love. Now, I know that's hard to do. I know when people treat us wrong, it's hard to love them in return. But the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Jesus made it plain that we were supposed to love all people, even our enemies. Remember what he said when he was hanging on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus never retaliated. He never fought back. He never gave them an occasion to think that he was not God incarnate. He was willingly went to the cross. He willingly took the beating that he took. He willingly had the crown of thorns placed on his head, the nails placed in his side and his feet and his hands. He never did retaliate against those that hang him on the cross. Now, because of Joseph's relationship with Pharaoh, they were treated with constant respect and kindness. Remember that. When Joseph had the opportunity to revenge, he chose grace and mercy instead of retaliation. Because of his relationship with God, he was able to see past the pain and see past the misery that he went through from being sold into slavery and clearly see God's plan woven throughout his story. Listen, my friend, he realized that it was God that did all this. He realized that God received all the glory. He realized that it was only God that could bring him to this place. Secondly, when they try to hurt you, respond by running away. David and Saul had a rocky relationship, to say the least. We all know David as the man after God's own heart and the giant killer. But did you know that David spent about 20 years running and hiding for his life? Saul grew so jealous of the praise David received after each battle that he raged, hatred formed, causing Saul to want to kill David. In 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 26, Saul's hatred for David is obvious. Saul tried to kill David twice by hurling a spear at him while playing the harp. Saul instructed his servants and son Jonathan to assassinate David. Saul sent his troops to David's house to kill him, but was able to escape out the window in the night. But David's response to his encounters with Saul teach us how to respond in our own situation when someone we have loved turns on us. Number one, run from the situation and get to safety. David fled into the wilderness to hide from Saul and wouldn't return to the palace for at least 20 years. Secondly, rally your troops. David gathered about 600 men to stay with him and help him preserve his life in the event of Saul finding him and trying to kill him again. David had troops. We have friends. We can rally our friends around us. Rally your fellow church members. Rally people around you to take up for you and to help you when somebody tries to hurt you. Somebody tries to do things wrong to you. The third thing we need to do that David did, turn to God. David sought after God for instruction on what to do. He also wrote many psalms during this time. Fourthly, don't take revenge. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Don't ever take revenge. David had the opportunity to take Saul's life on two different occasions, but knew that was not what God wanted him to do. David said to Saul, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." David realized that God was in his midst. He realized that God was on his side. We need to realize that too when somebody tries to hurt us. God will never leave you. God is always on your side, even when somebody's trying to hurt you. And fifthly, don't fall back into the same situation. In moments of vulnerability, Saul assured David he wouldn't try to kill him anymore and tried to convince him to come back to the palace. History nearly always repeats itself, so David decided to stay away. Although David had multiple opportunities to seek revenge on Saul, he responded by running away and allowing God to deal with Saul. When Saul died, David mourned because he loved Saul. But I'm sure he also breathed a sigh of relief. Because of David's response, God kept his promise to David, and he eventually became the king of Israel. Notice what happened to David. David was chased after for 20 years by Saul to try to kill him. He hired people to try to assassinate him. But David never gave up. David did what we should do. David ran from the situation. He fled for 20 years. David rallied his troops. He gathered people around him to help him. David turned to God for help. David did not take revenge. And David did not fall back in the same situation that he was out of. He did not go back to Saul. Saul invited him back, but he did not go back. And that is very important, my friend. Never go back into the same situation you were in. Never go back to the people that have tried to hurt you. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. Don't give them an opportunity to hurt you. Stay away from them. Make new friends. Do whatever you have to do to not fall back into the same situation that caused you to be hurt in the start with. Listen, my friend. God will always take revenge on the people that hurt you. If you are a believer, you can trust to lay it in God's hands. The Bible says, "I will repay, saith the Lord. I will seek revenge on them. I will do this." Now, when they reject you, and all of us have been rejected at times, when they reject you, respond with righteousness. Jesus, the most loving and perfect person to ever walk the face of the earth, was wrong more than anyone by his friends and family, disciples, and the people he came to save. In all these situations, Jesus responded with righteousness. After rejection in his hometown, he recognized he needed to leave. The people in Jesus' hometown rejected him, belittled him, and insulted him when he started teaching God's word. He responded to their rejection by leaving, knowing There was nothing he could do for them by staying. Sadly, because of their own hardened hearts, the people you love, many not able to hear you when you try to reason with them, and sometimes all you can do is walk away. I'll say that again. Sadly, because there's people that have hard hearts, the people you love, they may be people you love, people you don't like. The people you love or the people you don't love are not able to hear you when you try to reason with them because of their hardened hearts. Sometimes, all you can do is walk away. All you can do is get away from them. You don't ever want to face them in retaliation. You don't ever want to get back at them. When they reject you, respond with righteousness. On the night of Jesus' arrest, Judas conspired with the chief priests and teachers to betray Jesus. After his arrest, Jesus' nearest and dearest friends and disciples, Simon Peter, pretended not to know him. Not once does it say that Jesus retaliated against the hurt and betrayal of his friends. Sentenced to death by his own people, he realized the necessity and the necessary response was to forgive and pray for them. As he hung there on the cross, amidst the mocks and jeers from below, in misery from their seething hatred and tainted hearts, being spat upon, bleeding, and dying, he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Listen, my friend, if a lost person is hurting you, a lost person is betraying you, a lost person is coming at you, remember, they don't know what they're doing. If they've got a hard heart, they don't know what they're doing. If they're not trusting in God, they do not know what they're doing. But I want to tell you something, my friend. We all have been hurt. We all have been betrayed. We've all had people reject us. But what's the right response? Do what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to me. They don't understand how they're hurting me. They don't understand what I'm going through. Jesus was no stranger to pain and emotions of strained relationships, being fully human and enduring the same trials that we endure. He was hurt by the very ones he loved. Yet, his overwhelming love for people was stronger than any pain they could inflict on him. He died to save their lives, despite knowing they were still sinners. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Remember that, my friend. Christ died for all these people that betrayed him, all these people that rejected him. Christ still died for them. And that is saying something. We may not understand the depths of God's love. We may not understand the depths of Christ's love. But Christ gave his life despite knowing that these people out there were still sinners. He willingly went to the cross, even though they did not recognize who he was. He died to save their lives. When you have been wronged, especially by those closest to you, remember, love is always the right response. Love them with righteousness. Love them with everything you have. Love them no matter what they do to you. You don't have to stay quiet, be dragged down, or stick around, allowing the pain to continue. Instead, run to safety. Rise up and respond with righteousness. Lean into God and allow Him to work, entrusting the outcome to Him. This, my friend, is the lesson that I have for you tonight. I want you to know that I want you to take this to heart and I want you to use it in your daily walk. What is the right response when we're wronged? Well, we've seen when we're betrayed and abandoned, we respond by rising up. Rising up like Joseph did and give God all the glory. When people try to hurt us, how do we respond? We respond by running away. Don't stay in the situation. Turn to God. Rally your troops. Run from the situation and get to safety. Don't take revenge. This, my friend, is what we need to do. And I want you to understand how important it is, because it is very important you understand that when people try to hurt you, you don't have to stay and take it. You don't have to retaliate. Run away. Go somewhere else. Get to safety. Turn to God. Don't take revenge, but run to safety. And when people try to reject you, when people truly try to reject you, how do you respond? Respond with righteousness. What did Jesus do? He hung on the cross. After they nailed the nails in his hands and feet, after they placed a crown of thorns on his head, what did he do? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This, my friend, is what we need to do. We need to realize that it is not our place to take vengeance on people that reject us. It is not our place. On the night Jesus, before his crucifixion, remember Judas? Judas conspired to sell Jesus and to betray him. Now, after his arrest, Jesus' nearest and dearest friends and his disciple, Simon Peter, he pretended not to know Christ. Not once does it say that Jesus retaliated against the hurt and betrayal of his friends. Sentenced to death by his own people, he realized the necessary response was to do what? Forgive and pray for them. Forgive them and pray for them. As he hung on the cross, amidst the mocks and jeers from below, in misery from the seething hatred and tainted hearts, being spat upon, bleeding and dying, he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want you to remember that. We should do the same thing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the night we have tonight to bring your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you have blessed this message. Bless those that are here in attendance. Bless those around the world that listen to the messages on the internet. We pray, God, that you would take this message and use it in your will and your way. Touch the people's lives. Help them see how we need to respond when people abuse us, when they reject us, when they hate us. Help us see that you have taught us in your word that we're to love them. We're to not to stay in these situations. We're to run away from them. You have the vengeance. You will pay them back. And you will have the end result. We thank you, Lord, for dying for us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to live for you in this life. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.